Good morning, everyone. I hope this message finds you well. And also looking forward to the fact that next Sunday at 10, we will be able to gather again and have services at the church. You know, if someone asked you, who is Jesus, what would you say? How would you answer? Or what have you heard others say? What have you heard others' answers? Was that an answer that said, well, he was just another man who had some special gifts? Or he was a prophet, or a teacher, a philosopher? Or would you say, he is my Savior and King? He is the Son of God. In fact, he is God. That statement may be startling or shocking to some. However, he is God, and he has a unique and exclusive relationship with God the Father. During his time here on earth, Jesus was a carpenter's son, not a politician, not the commander of a great army. He never ruled a nation. He didn't even meet a Roman emperor. For 3.5 years, he taught, he explained the scriptures, and he performed many miraculous things. And then, unfortunately, he ended up on the cross, convicted illegally and executed by a provincial governor, not a man of very high ranking. Jesus is probably also the most famous man of history who's been remembered, written about, worshipped, prayed to, sung to, for almost 2,000 years. Our cities throughout this country and many more throughout the world are dotted with churches and cathedrals, all in his name. Most people can answer the questions, did he exist? Do we know where he lived? How did he die? And then the really big question, did he really rise from the dead? Jesus was and is much more than a prophet or a teacher. He gave us more than just advice on how to live in this fallen world. He claimed and made some very controversial statements. In John chapter 10, verse 30, he said, I and the Father are one. And in John chapter 14, verse 6, he said, No one comes to the Father except through me. This is more than a teaching, it is a claim. So how do we go about learning who Jesus is? How do we verify this claim? We can go to, and many have, to historical documents, some written many decades after his death, some even hundreds of years later, none of which, or most of which, had no eyewitness accounts. However, the real information about Jesus is in the Bible. Some will say, well, that's not inspired, or it's based only for those who claim to be Christians. The Bible is not accurate. But let us pause for a second. Those who wrote, especially in the New Testament, those were writers who, in fact, were writing at their risk. They were writing to, yes, proclaim their eyewitness accounts, but they were doing so at the risk of their lives, and they suffered for it. Yet they kept on writing eyewitness accounts of who Jesus was and what he said and what he did. The Bible is the Word of God and contains the most accurate information about Jesus Christ and who he is. Peter summarized it when Jesus questioned him. With the question, he said, who do you say I am? And in Matthew chapter 16, verse 16, Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You know, today is interesting. Our days are days of hustle and bustle. We expend excessive amounts of time on the internet, We are consumed by family, work, school, what is happening to us around us, what's in the news. We rush through the day and we don't pay much attention to what is going around us. And in many cases, we miss many interesting opportunities. We don't spend the time. We don't pause. It was interesting. I was on a business trip. I was staying in a hotel in Thousand Oaks, California, back in 2011. And in the same hotel, interestingly enough, was the cast of a movie that was being produced called We Bought a Zoo. And in that movie was Matt Damon and Scarlett Johansson. They used the hotel meeting room to rehearse their lines. And here I was, hustling and bustling, getting ready for work, going through the lobby as fast as I can to get to the office and so on. I had the opportunity to meet some very famous actors. I did see Scarlett Johansson sort of walk by very quickly. I didn't even know who she was until somebody pointed it out. She did happen to be a little bit shorter than I thought. Maybe not a great example of hustle and bustle, but we do get caught up in what's going on around us or with our daily activities. And in our hustle and bustle, we should ask, do we just give momentary attention to Jesus Christ? Do we just know Jesus on the surface? We maybe know some of his stories. Is he just a quick moment as a part of our daily routine? Or do we stop, pause, and recognize who he is and what he has done? Do we really try to get to know him? You know, during Jesus' time on earth, there was no television, movies, entertainment, or internet for entertainment. People would go to a meeting place, and their entertainment would be to listen to speakers or teachers, and in some cases, debate with them. When Jesus spoke, and there were many teachers and speakers at the time, so to get somebody's attention was probably not easy. I guess sort of like in our world of entertainment today, there are many, many, many actors and actresses. But when Jesus spoke, he astonished and amazed his listeners. Over 10 times in the gospel, it is written that Jesus as a teacher amazed his listeners and he taught with authority. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 28 to 29, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. In Luke chapter 4, verse 22, all spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. And in Mark chapter 6, verse 2, it says, "When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. 'Where did this man get these things?' they asked. 'What's this wisdom that has been given him? What are these remarkable miracles that he is performing?'" And interestingly enough, in Matthew chapter 22, there's a great example of how Jesus outwitted the leaders in the temple in Jerusalem. When they asked him if it was lawful to pay taxes to Caesar, it was a question that was intended to make Jesus look foolish and remove his influence with the local crowd. But Jesus caught them in their own trap by asking them whose image was on the coin used for paying taxes. It was Caesar's, and therefore it belonged to Caesar. Jesus, amazed people in so many ways, in so many other ways. He performed miracles, healing hundreds who couldn't be healed. He turned water into wine. He cast out demons. He calmed stormy waters. He fed not just 5,000 once, he fed another 4,000 from a few loaves and fishes. And he raised people from the dead. Although there were many charlatans and magicians at the time, none could perform or do what Jesus did. No one did things like that, ever. The people were amazed. So why did Jesus do all these things? What was the purpose? He was backing up the claims about himself that no other human being had done before. It's best explained in a way by the story of Lazarus. Lazarus had died. He'd been in the tomb for 4 days. And in John chapter 11, starting in verse 21, Martha is saying to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." And Jesus said to her, "Well, your brother will rise again." And Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die." When we read this verse or these verses, we realize that Martha knew about and believed in the resurrection. What she did not expect was that Lazarus was to come out of that tomb alive. And what Jesus was saying in verse 25 is, I not only can give life, I am life. Jesus was claiming that he was more than just a great teacher or prophet or philosopher or performer of miracles. But for those who were paying attention, Jesus was claiming to be much more. He was claiming to be the giver of life. Just prior to his crucifixion, when asked by Caiaphas who he was, Jesus answered, and it's written in Matthew chapter 26, towards the end of the chapter, Jesus remained silent, and starting in verse 63, Jesus remained silent. The high priest said to him, "I command you, under oath by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." And in verse 64, he says, "Yes, it is just as you say. But here is what I say to all of you. In days to come, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One. You will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven." Wow. When you read that, what a shocking claim. What a shocking claim. So let's continue. Who is Jesus? The story of Jesus is more than that of just one good man. It's the story also of a king. In the opening chapter of the Gospel of John, John the Baptist knew the kingdom of God was at hand. The king was about to be revealed and the kingdom was about to be established on the earth. In John chapter 1, verses 29 to 30, it says, "The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him. John said, 'Look, the Lamb of God, he takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I was talking about. I said, a man who comes after me is more important than I am. That's because he existed before I was born.'" You know, God, as we read in the Old Testament, had promised his people he would send a king to Israel. And John the Baptist knew that scripture. He knew it. And that Jesus himself would come and be their king as prophesied in Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 to 7. One what we have read just recently in the last few weeks. It says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." What a great description of who Jesus is. Not just an ordinary king, but a forever king. So let's go back to the beginning of this message where Peter had answered Jesus by saying, when asked who was he, Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Here, Peter, who had been with Jesus for over 3 years, had participated in the feeding of the 5,000. He had watched the many healings, had listened to Jesus' teaching. I'm sure when he said this, he was more than amazed. Peter was probably shocked, because there in front of him was the King, the Anointed One. Not just the King of Israel, but the King of Kings, God in the flesh. Peter realized this man was God. He was the Creator. He was, is the great I Am. Wow, what an amazing event that must have been for Peter at that time. So next week, we'll learn more about who is Jesus. Next week, we'll learn about his triumphs, his sacrifice for man, his resurrection, and that he is our reigning Lord. If we want to know the God who created us, then we may need to know who Jesus is, so that we can all say, "That is the man I'm trusting with my eternity." Thank you, great God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'll just close with a quick prayer. Lord Jesus, King of Kings, Teacher, Master, Savior, Shepherd, Giver of Life, help us to pause, to spend the time to know who you are deeply, to know how we are to please you, that we maintain constant contact with you in prayer and in our thoughts, knowing with assurance that one day we too will be in front of you, shocked and amazed and full of gratitude and praise. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.